everybody. It's Freaky Medlock from Lynyrd Skynyrd. That's right, baby. And you're listening to Shane Christopher Neal.
I'm doing great. Thank you. I do appreciate you taking the time and doing this as well.
No problem.
So let's start with this. Interesting. I was going through your website and a bunch of your music. Of course, everybody knows the music of Lynyrd Skynyrd. But before we, I got some questions on that. But let's talk about "Never Run Out of Road," because you put out a brand new single, and it's got it's a great song. It's got a great story, and it's for a great cause as well. So I'm just going to let you speak about the song itself and kind of what you've been doing with this song.
Well, the song itself was written here probably, at least a half a dozen years ago. And it was written by myself along with Charlie Starr of Blackberry Smoke. And brought in my guitar player friend, Mark Warple, who I'm doing the Ricky Medlock Band with. And all three of us, you know, ended up collaborating on this. And I had been, involved in wanting to do something on behalf of the MMIW, which is the Missing and Murdered Indigenous Women Movement. And I tried to do a television show, maybe 8 or 10 years ago. On behalf of that, it would have been an investigative show. But nobody, no network wanted to touch it. They refused to even adhere to it, anything. Everybody passed. So, for me, wanted to stay involved in somehow bringing awareness to this problem, which has become really an epidemic in this country within the states and Canada. And I did this song, and what happened was we finished it off, and in comes this guy, Scott Harrell. Scott is the owner of Rock the Cause Records, and his sole intention is to have a record company that can make sizable donations to different charities that are of worth. And so when he came in, he wanted to sign this song. And then I found out what he does as far as, his charities and stuff like that. So I thought to myself, bingo, there we go. This can be the one that maybe can bring awareness, to this problem. So I got hold of a friend of mine, Gil Birmingham, who is the actor, one of the main actors on Yellowstone. He plays the tribal chairman on there for the Cheyenne Indians. And I got hold of him and told him what I was wanting to do. And he goes, because I knew that they had, on Yellowstone, they had in their third season, they themselves had done a segment of their show, an episode, directed at that. And so he got a hold of Taylor Sheridan, and he knew Taylor was donating to somebody like that. And Taylor told him who he was donating to. And Gil came back to me and said, Ricky, Taylor is donating to the National Indigenous Women's Resource Center. They are in conjunction with the MMIW. And I said, there you go. Let's do that. And so that was our number one resource, to go to. We're donating to them. Also, the Dreamcatchers Charitable Fund, which is another Native group up there right out of Toronto.
Okay.
And with the, actually that's part of the Green River Enterprise company out of Canada. And then, of course, the North American Wolves, Save the North American Wolves Society. I love animals, so we donate to that too. But the main one is the National Indigenous Women's Resource Center.
That's a great story because it shows you that when you have a vision for something and a passion in something, that sometimes it takes a long time to get there and to get what you need. And I think too often today, and I think you'll agree with this, too many people give up too quickly, right? Sometimes it takes a little bit of time to get where you need to be. So congratulations on that. Again, a great song. And you've got a great band. Sounds great.
Well, thank you. Yeah, you know what? It was interesting because when Skinner is on hiatus, you know the guys in the band, you know, they have a couple of guys have large families. And, you know, when you're on the road, man, it takes you away from families and certain special events. There's a lot of sacrifice, you know?
Sure.
And when Skinner takes, you know, 3 or 4 months, 5 months out of the year off, well, I get bored.
I don't blame you, actually, yeah.
It's not good for Ricky to get bored. You know? So I said, you know, maybe put a band together and go out and do shows. Well, I call Mark, and Mark had already had a band together, and I thought to myself, wow, what a great way for me to interject myself into Mark's band. Maybe put a song out, have something to promote, go out and play shows. And March 1st and 2nd, we just did our first two shows that went down really well. And so now I've got an outlet, you know, along with recording new stuff, which, by the way, we're starting to work on another song to put out on Rock Cause. And so we'll see where that goes. But that was my whole purpose, you know, was to get a band together, make sure it was a great band, and write new material. Record new material and go out and put it out and then play live.
Well, that's awesome, my friend. And like I said, sounds great. Great band. I will tell as much as I am in my mid-50s, last summer in Toronto, Ontario, the very first time I seen Leonard Skinner, believe it or not, because most people I know have seen him multiple times. I know. And don't be mad. I know a little bit about... I know Damon Johnson a little bit too. And Damon and I did some interviews over the years. I know he plays guitar now with you in Skinner. So that's got to be fun.
Well, you know what? Damon actually came in. The way that all happened was that Gary, you know, who just passed away a year ago. Gary had told us that, you know, Gary was succumbed to very serious heart issues and had succumbed to that. And, oh boy, you know, he couldn't go out and do the heavy touring anymore and wanted to bow out from a lot of the touring. And so Johnny had called me and said, do you know anybody that could possibly come in and, you know, stand in for Gary until he gets better or whatever. And I said, well, I only know one guy. He's been my friend since the late 80s, early 90s. He did it with Alice Cooper. He did it with Thin Lizzy. Any band he's ever done, he's had to, you know, come in and, you know, take up the throne for somebody, you know. And I called David. And Damon was stunned. I mean, he was like, what? And I went, I need for you to learn all the iconic leads, all the iconic leads and rhythms, just like Gary would do.
Right.
And you're going to come out on the road with us. And in every once in a while and play with us, but you're in the band with us right now. And, man, from the first day he come in, he worked out incredibly well.
Yeah, stellar guitar player. Love him.
Oh, man, he's a great guitar player, and we couldn't be happier, man.
And his Brother Kane band isn't too shabby either. You have an interesting story, though, with Skynyrd, in fact that you were there at the very beginning, and then you kind of left there and kind of rejoined the band in the 90s. Can you just explain to me, when you joined that band initially in the early 70s, what the thought process was for this band who was, you know, kind of just getting started, if you will, and then all of a sudden, 2024, you look back on this career of how many hits, how many concerts, how many people own the T-shirts and love Lynyrd Skynyrd? I'm sure you never would have thought that that's would have happened this many years later.
Well, you know what, man? I think when you're a young guy, or in your late teens or early 20s, whatever, and you get in a band, you know, you're hoping that somebody somewhere somehow will want to listen to your songs, your original music, you know. And, you know, as you're being a garage band or in an old house somewhere like we were in Hell House, and, you know, you got this dream. And you got it in your heart to keep following what your heart's telling you to do. When I first got with Skynyrd, that's exactly what we thought. We were not going to give up. We were going to keep punching through it the best we could. Fortunately, I left Lynyrd Skynyrd the first time. It was for reasons that I really felt was a good idea, and as it turns out, it was a good idea.
Right.
And I did Blackfoot, and all of a sudden, in 96, I got back with Lynyrd Skynyrd. And, you know, I've been with them ever since now, just 28 years later, plus the 2.5, almost 3 years with them in the formidable years. I mean, over 30 years with the band, you know.
That's amazing.
When you're young, you never know where it's going to lead you to. And now that I stand on stage every night and I'm 74 years old and I'm up there just wailing away like a 17-year-old, I'm glad I quit all the shenanigans.
Oh, man.
That I was doing in my 30s so that I could still stay in the game. You know what I mean?
I know what you mean. Yes, I do.
Yeah. So, for me, when I stand up there every night and I look at the happiness that we bring audiences, and, you know, when Gary passed, we were just flooded with, of course, you know, condolences and people being so sorry that it had happened. But the main thing that people were saying, please don't let this be the end of it.
Right.
And that really hit Johnny and I. And so we decided, hey, let's go through the steps of figuring out how to keep it rolling. We had to go through a bunch of business stuff, but it all got worked out, and here it is. We're going to keep this thing rolling for as long as we can.
Well, that's great to hear. And I know that you've been asked this probably, Ricky, many times. What do you recall from where you were back in October of 1977?
Well, understand, I had seen Ronnie and the guys right before they took off. Ronnie had even asked me, did I want to go ride with him? He said, we got our own plane, and invited me to come ride with him and maybe jam with him or do whatever I wanted to do, you know? And I wanted to do it. But 2 days before we were to leave, I got shows for Blackpool, and I couldn't go. Johnny as well. Ronnie wanted to take Johnny on the road, but his parents wouldn't let him because he was in school. Mm-hmm. And what happened was, it was very interesting. They were leaving Greenville, South Carolina that afternoon as Blackfoot was pulling into Columbia, South Carolina. That's how close fate was.
Crazy.
And that night, I found out about it as I was getting off stage, as I was ending a show. And I rushed back to the hotel, and only to find out, you know, my dad, I called my parents, and, you know, they were close to Ronnie and the guys. And my dad answered the phone, and I said, you know, Dad, please tell me that this is not true, you know. And he goes, no, it's true. He said, and Ronnie is one of the ones that has perished. And I was just heartbroken. And that's kind of the way it went. So it happened, I guess. They always say everything happens the way it's supposed to, but that was a very tragic thing that happened, you know.
Absolutely. And I, you know, I thank you as a fan of your music for keeping this going with Lynyrd Skynyrd and all the guys in the band. And like I said, first time I saw the band was last summer. And I just thought it was fantastic. And actually, I was going to tell you that on Saturday, this past Saturday, I went to host an event here in near Niagara Falls, Canada, yeah. A band called Street Survivors, which obviously were a tribute to Lynyrd Skynyrd. And this was their first show. All great musicians. They put it together maybe 3-4 months ago, and great turnout, and we had a great time. And they paid tribute to so many great songs from Lynyrd Skynyrd that you've been involved with. One other question. Do you ever get sick of playing Free Bird or sick of people asking for it?
it is funny, man, because, you know, you're on stage and, you know, you're playing all the songs. You'll have at least one person in the audience yell out, play Free Bird. And, you know, to me, I go, you know, in my mind, I'm going, hang on, dude. We're getting to it, you know what I mean? But, you know what, man? I never do get tired of playing that or any of the songs.
Right.
A lot of people often ask me, hey, what's your favorite Skynyrd song? I go, all of them.
Good answer.